Case number 085141, Teva Pharmaceuticals USA Inc. versus Michael O. Levitt in his official capacity as Secretary of Health and Human Services et al. Appellants, Mylan Pharmaceuticals Inc. Mr. Masoudi for the appellants, Mr. Lefkowitz for the appellees.
May it please the court, Gerald Masoudi representing appellants. I have reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal. 180-day marketing exclusivity for generic drugs turns on whether a generic drug manufacturer has submitted an application that includes a paragraph 4 certification, that is a certification that a patent is invalid or not infringed, to a patent that claims the listed drug. FDA has long held the view that whether the patent claims the listed drug turns on whether the patent holder has stated to FDA that the patent claims the drug. Teva filed a paragraph 4 certification in this case, a purported paragraph 4 certification, but to a patent that the patent holder had told FDA months before no longer and did not claim the drug. Withdrawal was reflected in FDA's electronic orange book available on the internet, but not in a paper supplement.
That's really irrelevant, though, right? Under your theory, it doesn't matter if the electronic.
It absolutely does not matter which book published. Our second argument, if indeed the court were to hold that, contrary to our view, that somehow what's in the list matters, it was in the list. It was available electronically. But our first argument is that what shows up in the list is not dispositive of the question of whether the patent claims the drug. FDA told.
So the key date here is the date the letter was sent?
The date the letter was received by FDA.
The date the letter was received.
Yes. So FDA's position has long been that when it receives information stating whether the patent claims the drug or not, that is the dispositive date. When FDA received the purported paragraph 4 certification, it promptly told Teva that the certification was improper, and Teva readily agreed to withdraw the certification and indeed responded to FDA that now there was only one patent, the 663 patent, not the patent at issue in this case, that was listed for the drug. Teva never objected. It did not in any way suggest that it disagreed with FDA's conclusion, and for 6 years it sat by. The public and other generic applicants reasonably and rightly believed that there would be no exclusivity for this drug. In 2007, Teva finally objected. Now Teva decided that FDA had blatantly disregarded its own regulations and rules, and that its paragraph 4 certification, in fact, was appropriate.
How does the listing in either the Orange Book or on your website actually affect this process? What I'm asking is, if it's listed, is it correct to say that a company who wants to market a generic does have to file the certification?
Your Honor, the agency has stated that the Orange Book is the primary means of disclosing information to the public, but has also said that information is available through other sources, such as the reading room, the Freedom of Information reading room. FDA has never said the certification is required to a patent that does not claim the drug merely because it appears in any list. And the regulation on which Teva relies for that proposition, suggesting that FDA requires certification even to patents that appear in the list but do not claim the drug, Teva cites selectively from that regulation. That regulation does not apply here. That's 314.53F, which applies only in situations where an applicant has challenged the correctness of any information. FDA has gone to the NDA holder, the new drug application holder, and asked, again, does this patent claim the drug or not? FDA, again, under that regulation that Teva cites, depends entirely on what the new drug application holder says back. And if the applicant says that the patent claims the drug, then a certification is required. The regulation that's relevant in this case for when certification is required is 314.94A12. That 314.94 is the regulation that governs the contents of a generic drug application. And that regulation in paragraph A12 says the certification is required for patents that claim the drug. There's no reference to the Orange Book. There's no reference to the list. And indeed, FDA has never said that even if there's inaccurate information in the list, that a certification is required based on that inaccurate information.
So if you had received patent information, but for some reason, inadvertence, some kind of glitch, it wasn't reflected, you didn't have it listed in your book, would they need a paragraph 4 certification anyway?
If a patent appeared in the printed book and FDA had already received information withdrawing the patent and saying it did not claim the drug, as happened in the case, a certification is not required because the patent did not claim the drug and FDA relies on the most current information. If, as happened in this case, the applicant, for whatever reason, submitted an inappropriate certification to a patent that appeared in the book but no longer claimed the drug, FDA, as it did in this case, informs the applicant that the certification is inappropriate and requires the applicant to resubmit the application without the certification.
It's undisputed that in the reverse context, it's reality rather than the Orange Book that controls. That's in footnote 14 at Joint Appendix 78, right? You cite that. And
that's right.
That's the case where we have the patent. The patent has been submitted. I guess that's the correct termination. But it hasn't gone into anything written.
That's correct. Yeah. And Your Honor, that happens. And Congress recognized in the statute that might happen and directed FDA to update the list every 30 days. There was a clear recognition that reality dictates that the list cannot be updated instantaneously, and there will always be a lag, as with any agency, as you well know. Not even the FDA is not a perfect agency, and sometimes there are mistakes made. And if there happens to be a mistake or there happens to be a lag because a person has to look at patent information, what governs, as FDA has repeatedly stated as early as 1994 in the preamble to these regulations, what matters is the most recent information that's been submitted to FDA, regardless of whether it has been published yet. The district court suggested that FDA was bound by what happened to be published, not in any list, but in the particular paper list, notwithstanding that FDA had a website on which this information was available, notwithstanding FDA's longstanding practice that certifications are to be based on the most recent information, whether or not published. And again, FDA repeatedly in the preamble in 1994 said that certifications must be based on the information received by FDA, whether or not it's published. Teva doesn't point to anything suggesting that, in fact, this patent did claim the drug. It does not suggest and does not dispute that the patent holder in this case had told FDA that the patent did not claim the drug. In essence, Teva has created what's essentially an estoppel claim against the government. According to Teva, if FDA had just managed to put out the cumulative supplement, the printed book, reflecting that the patent had been withdrawn, it would have no argument now. If the day before FDA had updated the list, the day before Teva filed its certification, Teva would not be in court right now. So in essence, what Teva is claiming is because FDA made some kind of a mistake, did something wrong, we dispute that there was a mistake made because the electronic Orange Book did disclose this patent. But Teva essentially wants to make
It took many months for the supplement to get updated, so I don't know if you want to hang too much on that.
Well, for some of the strengths, it took a while. For four of the strengths, it did take a couple of months. For one of the strengths, it was updated. The database was updated promptly. But notwithstanding that, the list is not dispositive. What appears on the list is not dispositive. It's an important source of information, and FDA recognizes that. It does its best to update the list as promptly as possible. Congress recognized that the list would not always reflect what patents actually claim the drug. And in essence, Teva wants the government to be stopped because it did not put out the paper supplement before Teva submitted its application. Only Teva has not produced any evidence in the district court or elsewhere that it actually relied on the paper Orange Book to the exclusion of any other source of information. It submitted no evidence that it had done anything in reliance on the FDA's failure to update the paper supplement at the time that Teva believes it should have updated the supplement. And so even if a claim of estoppel against the government were viable as a matter of law here, as a matter of fact, Teva has submitted no such evidence.
How often is this situation arising or has it arisen?
This claim that Teva makes, that a patent was in the book, to my knowledge, this has never arisen. No applicant over the many years FDA has been doing this has come in and said, yes, we understand your most current information is that this patent does or does not claim the drug, but since the book reflected something different, we win. To my knowledge, other applicants...
Because of mistakes in the book, there are not other cases out there along these lines?
Not that I'm aware of, and repeatedly FDA tells applicants, we've received additional information, and sometimes the applicants find the information themselves by going to the FDA reading room. And that's yet another reason that makes it absolutely clear that the book is not the last word on whether a patent claims the drug. Even if FDA's notice to the public, as opposed to FDA's receipt of the information, were this positive.
Would it be different if they had compelling evidence that they had relied on the book?
I don't think it would, because Teva disclaimed any theory of estoppel below, although they're trying to dress up their claim.
I'm just talking about as a matter of law, would it be different?
If
there was compelling evidence that a party relied on what's in the book, and the book, it turns out, was mistaken.
I believe that would not change the case, because the statute states clearly, as do FDA's regulations, that certifications must be to patents that claim drugs. FDA interprets claim to mean that when it has received information stating that a patent claims a drug or that a patent does not claim a drug, that is dispositive. And in the PurePak case from this court, in the AII Pharmaceuticals case from the Fourth Circuit, in the Apotex v. Thompson case from the Federal Circuit, those courts have all recognized that the dispositive question is whether FDA has received information from the sponsor stating what the claim is. And I would reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Jay Lefkowitz representing Teva USA. This is a remarkable argument that the FDA is making, and it's remarkable because it is completely contradictory with the letter decision as well as with the position that the FDA articulated in its briefs below in the argument before Judge Lamberth. And I'd like to quote for the court two really critical statements that the FDA made in the letter decision, because the letter decision is the final agency action being evaluated here. The FDA did not make any claims about waiver or estoppel. They addressed the arguments that Teva made in its citizens petition on the merits. And at JA 73, the FDA says in its letter decision, for each patent listed in the Orange Book, the ANDA applicant must submit either a paragraph 3 certification or a paragraph 4 certification or some other type of little 8 certification. They claim today that it absolutely does not matter what is in the list. And another quote from Mr. Masoudi, that FDA has never said that what matters is what's in any list. But in the agency action under review here at JA 73, they said precisely that. And moreover, the FDA in its decision cited as legal authority the very directive it now claims is legally irrelevant to justify its claim that the Orange Book controlled, the electronic Orange Book controlled, and that Teva should have looked on this website and looked at the electronic query function. What does the FDA say at page 76 of the joint appendix, also in the letter opinion? It says, quote, the addendum, which is the printed Orange Book, states that, quote, since all parts of this publication are subject to changes, additions, or deletions, the addendum must be used in conjunction with the most current cumulative supplement. That is the most...
I don't see the word exclusively there.
No, it does not say exclusively. You're right, Your Honor. It says it must be used in conjunction, and the reason it must be used in conjunction is because the Orange Book, this is the monthly supplement, and the monthly supplement makes clear that the list must be used in conjunction with the monthly supplement. It is true that in that monthly supplement, there is a reference to an electronic tool of convenience. And what does the FDA say about that? The FDA says There is an electronic query book feature. You can search the query book feature. That is not the official list. The official list that the FDA in its own regulations describes is the document entitled Approved Drugs with Therapeutic Equivalence Evaluations. That's the Orange Book.
Well, what if there's a mistake in the list, though?
If there is a mistake...
You win if there's a mistake in the list, is your position, right?
Absolutely, Your Honor. If the...
Even if everyone knows, including you, that it's a mistake.
Well, first of all, that's not the case at issue here. At issue here, we...
But your position, I think, is even if everyone knows, including the end applicant, that it's just a mistake or a typo or a lag time, you still get the benefit of the fact that there's a mistake in the
list. That's right, Your Honor, and let me explain to you why. Because the statute repeatedly requires that the FDA publish and maintain a list of information it receives from brand manufacturers. The glue that holds the incentive scheme of Hatch-Waxman together, patent protection for branded companies, incentives for generic companies to challenge potentially weak patents, the glue that holds that together is that the FDA sits in between the branded companies and the generics. And the statute says very clearly that the applicant shall file with the application. I'm reading from 355B1. The applicant shall file with the application the patent and expiration date of any patent which claims the drug. And then two sentences later it says, upon approval of the application, the secretary shall publish information submitted under the two preceding sentences. In other words, the FDA is required to submit...
On the date that the ANDA was submitted here, did the patent claim the drug?
I would suggest that under the statute, if you read the statute, the structure and all of these three interlinking parts of the statute, the requirement of the branded company to certify, the obligation of the FDA to publish, and then the obligation of the generic company to certify to the patents that claim a listed drug.
The application requirement is not woven into the statutory requirement about the ANDA applicant's requirements, its duties, what it is supposed to identify, right?
One
looks at A7 with a lot of preliminary numbers and letters. There's no talk about publication, whatever, right?
Well, that is correct.
Respect to each patent which claims the listed drug. It doesn't say each patent which has been listed in such and such a place which claims the drug.
But the reason that this court and the Federal Circuit and the district court in D.C. and the FDA in this very letter decision said very clearly that for each patent listed in the Orange Book, the ANDA applicant must submit a certification. The reason they said that is because the only way that the generic company knows what are the patents they have to certify to is by looking in the Orange Book. And that is especially true, as Judge Williams, I think, was pointing out, with respect to a delisting. With respect to a delisting, there is no way for a generic company to know which patents a branded company has disclaimed. They're not required to file that information with the patent office. The only way a generic company knows what is no longer there, what they don't have to invest time and effort taking the risk of committing an act of infringement by filing the ANDA, is by looking on the list.
But Mr. Lefkowitz, this paragraph that you cite here on JA73, the sentence before that says, an ANDA applicant must include a patent certification for each patent that claims the reference listed drug. So that's in their decision letter before this language that you quote. And it must be true that what you're arguing, I think, is just the mere fact of submitting this paragraph 4 certification triggers this 180-day exclusivity. But that would, what sense would that make that they have this filing review and then a substantive review? Doesn't your certification have to be valid?
Well, I would suggest, Your Honor, though, that the certification is valid if it is certifying to a patent that is listed in the Orange Book. There's no magic in the...
Look, it says that claims the reference listed drug.
Correct.
You have to read that language out of the statute to make the argument you're making.
No, I think it's the FDA that's actually trying to read language and parse one individual line in the statute. If you look at the three components, the obligation for the branded company to provide the information, the obligation for the FDA to list exactly that information, which of course is the information as to patents that are claimed, the only answer, the only logical explanation is that what is in the Orange Book, which after all the FDA then directs the public to use, is the patents that claim. And in fact, Your Honor, I would suggest that the FDA's argument that what the relevant magic date is when the branded company notifies the FDA or when the FDA receives some indication, there's no magic there either, and that's not at all clear from the statute. The statute actually says a patent that claims a drug. That's an objective fact. Now, obviously, it doesn't work under the structure of the statute to say we wait until a patent challenge is resolved.
Excuse me, if you think that that's what that language says, then why did Teva withdraw its paragraph 4 certification when the FDA said, it doesn't claim the drug? You didn't make the argument at that point that, well, you're just wrong and our certification is good. You withdrew it.
That is right, Your Honor. And the reason we didn't is the FDA has a longstanding policy that it will not begin the bioequivalent studies that are required and often take a few years before a product is ready for a tentative approval unless its application is in order. So we had no choice but to resubmit the application in the form that the FDA directed so that we could at least get underway and get the bioequivalent studies done. We also couldn't have challenged this exclusivity issue because, again, the FDA has made clear in numerous rulings that until a product has tentative approval, it will not address exclusivity. And I would point out further, Your Honor, that when we filed our citizens' petition, the FDA could have raised those arguments. The FDA could have said, look, you shouldn't have waited 5 years. We would have then argued in front of Judge Lamberth the precise issue that I just explained to you. They did not address that at all. In their letter decision, they addressed the specific argument that we made about the delisting and about the dictate of the Orange Book. And I would suggest, Your Honor, that the Orange Book not only is required, the FDA is required by the statute to keep and publish a list of patent information it receives from branded companies. And again, that branded information has to be the patents that claim the drug. That's exactly what it says.
I take it under your argument, the practice that FDA refers to at footnote 14 of the letter is invalid and has been invalid for the years that it's been followed.
Well, with respect,
because there's a complete nonconformity between submission and publication.
With respect to a later listed patent, there is a specific regulation that if after I have submitted an application, the branded company identifies a new patent that claims a drug, I have to recertify. There is no question about that. And there's a regulation on point. But with respect to a delisting,
does the regulation refer only to after publication in the Orange Book? Or does it refer to, as you just described,
there is a
submission to the FDA?
There is a specific regulation, though, that addresses that. And with respect to the delisting situation,
your account is if it doesn't address the gulf between submission and publication.
That is true, Your Honor. And I would submit,
that's what we're talking about.
And I would submit that the FDA has filled that gulf to the extent that there is a gap. And I would suggest, Your Honor, that there isn't a gap because if you read the three different relevant provisions of the statute together, you're left with only one reasonable interpretation of the structure and the text of the statute. But to the extent that there is a gulf, I would suggest that the FDA has actually filled that gulf in with its Orange Book directive. The Orange Book directive that says, because all parts of this publication are subject to change, even though this is the legally operative publication that we are required by Congress to publish, You have to look at the monthly supplement. And, Your Honor, after 2000...
We've been there before, but without the word exclusively, which you read into it.
No, I'm not reading exclusively, Your Honor, but it's nonetheless, it's a directive. And what further proves this is the FDA's practice post-2005. At the beginning of 2005, the FDA, in its annual Orange Book, said, over time, people have begun to use the Internet more. And as a result, the electronic Orange Book has become the de facto source of patent information. Accordingly, from this point forward, the public is obligated to use the electronic Orange Book, which we update every day.
And if there's a mistake in the electronic Orange Book, you win, right?
I would suggest, Your Honor, look, if to give you a hypothetical, the statute for paying taxes requires that taxes are paid on April 15th, and the IRS is required through various of its own regulations to publish forms. If the 1040 form that were published for the entire country this year said at the bottom in big letters, you shall file by April 20th, and if you file beyond April 20th, you'll get a penalty, I would suggest that the agency would be bound by that clear directive. And I would suggest that this is really no different than that. The Orange Book listing is required by Congress. I would suggest that if you look at their statement in JA-73, they understand that the Orange Book is the required place for generics to find patent information, and that's why they say, as this court said in PurePak, for each patent listed in the Orange Book, the ANDA applicant must submit a Para 3 or a Para 4 certification. So I think that they understand that. And in a sense, what the agency is trying to do here is really no different from what it tried to do in the Rambaxi case, which is to change the incentive structure here.
On the incentive structure, I mean, what if it had been delisted in the book on August 27th, 2001? All the investment that Teva had done and everything would be for naught, and you would agree that's all for naught. I mean,
absolutely, Your Honor, because there are clear ground rules. There's a playing field, and ultimately, you know, if you lose in the ninth inning, it's unfortunate, but you've still lost. But if it's a ninth inning game, and the losing team says, let's just play a 10th inning so we can catch up, that's not fair. There are ground rules. And an agency should not be able to rely in its letter decision on the clear dictates that everybody has understood for years, and then in a litigating position in the appellate court, change its position entirely and say, these Orange Book directives don't matter, particularly when it relied in the letter decision on the legal validity of...
99 times out of 100, the Orange Book will reflect accurately what's happening. So that's why referring to the Orange Book as shorthand is not usually a problem. This is apparently a one-off case.
I would suggest that's right, Your Honor. And I would simply say that under the facts of this case, I think Teva has the better of the statutory argument, because I don't think you can read one line, this line of claim. I mean, arguably, if it's just a matter of what the branded company believes, maybe the branded company makes a determination in its boardroom that it has a really weak patent, and it's instructed its lawyers, don't ever defend this patent. Is it no longer claiming the patent? At the other end of the continuum, we could, in fact, wait till a jury in a patent case determines whether or not the patent in fact claims the drug, because that's a way of knowing what truly happens.
Thank you, counsel. We understand your argument.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
If I may address a few minor points. First, counsel suggests that the only way a generic applicant could know that a patent has been withdrawn is by looking at the printed Orange Book. That is simply incorrect. FDA's regulations at 314.53E direct applicants to look in the Freedom of Information Room for information that's been submitted but not yet published.
In other words, don't rely on the Orange Book. Assume it's wrong.
No, not assume it's wrong, but it's an important source of information,
beware,
as FDA said.
Beware of the Orange Book.
Beware. It may not always be right, and as Congress recognized, there will be a lag between when information is received and when it's published. Teva suggests that the only way that this system of investments in patents and patent challenges can work is if if the Orange Book is dispositive. But the system they're suggesting is that if a patent holder, for example, wants to get the benefit of the 30-month stay that comes from having a patent in the book and a paragraph 4 certification filed to it, that not only must the patent holder submit the information to FDA, but it must hope that FDA puts the information in the Orange Book as quickly as possible, because if a generic applicant with full knowledge that the patent has been submitted wants to sneak in and file its application before the paper or electronic Orange Book is updated, it can do so to the detriment of the patent holder. And at bottom, really, what Teva is suggesting in this case is that both other generic applicants and the public should be punished because it believes FDA made a mistake in the information that it put in the Orange Book. And putting aside whether there was a mistake, that's essentially what Teva is arguing, that it should get exclusivity to the detriment of other applicants. And in this regard, there are at least two other applications that are ready to be approved but for the district court's injunction. This is a drug that sells hundreds of millions of dollars in sales a year for patients around the country. And for that reason, because there is now duopoly pricing as a result of Teva's exclusivity, and in the absence of the injunction, there would be robust competition, and FDA believes the prices would drop precipitously.
How many of the 180 days has Teva been enjoying?
About 60. Teva has had exclusivity for about 60 days, and there are 4 months remaining. And for that reason, FDA believes that this case would be a good candidate for the court issuing the judgment and mandate immediately as opposed to waiting. Or in the alternative, to issue the mandate immediately with an opinion, if the court is inclined to reverse the district court. And unless the court has any further questions, I will sit down.
Thank you.